Welcome. You're listening to the calming sounds of the Taipu Orchestra. Side A.
Hello and welcome to another exciting episode of the Tide Pool Orchestra. We are on what? What are we? Episode 23?
And welcome.
And welcome.
We don't know what episode we're on. So, you tell us.
Yeah. Comment down below. What's the title of this video? off to a good start already, I can tell. Why don't we introduce ourselves, just in case people are just now tuning in. I'm Brian.
I'm Jordan.
Yay.
And I'm Mike. This is episode 23.
Ugh.
I was literally just trying to look that up while I was killing time.
Oh, nice.
Oh, God.
I was doing it while you were looking it up, killing time.
Okay, so we're going to start off with some fan questions, and basically every Thursday when we record on Thursday nights, every Thursday when we record, we ask our fan Discord server if anybody has any questions. That way we can answer them in the first half of the podcast.
I have an idea. Wouldn't it be better to have a... Maybe
no.
This is an idea I should say. Never mind.
Just say it on the air, Jordan. Come on.
Yeah, sure. Let's make a separate channel in the Discord for questions. So if people don't have questions at any other day of the week, they can put them there, and then we don't have to pin them.
I think we tried that, and then it didn't work.
I don't know.
No, I don't think we tried that. We just had suggestions.
It's a good idea. I'm gonna start reading off the question, Jordan. If you want to go ahead and do that, that'd be cool.
Cool.
First question we got was from Jason, and this is a continuation of a question that we got last week. He says, "Dear Tide Pool Orchestra, why does Garfield have so much time travel lore?" And last week he was asking a question about why does Garfield travel through time, and also what's your favorite kind of lasagna. This time he didn't ask about the lasagna, but he really wants to get down to the bottom of this. Why does Garfield have so much time travel lore?
I really don't fucking know. I didn't even know Garfield had time traveling lore.
I also did not know that. I just, straight up, no idea.
I watched the movies. There was no time traveling in there. It was just cute little 3D Garfield.
So I'm pretty sure he's referencing the most famous story arc from the Garfield newspaper comics, in which Garfield wakes up one day in the future and realizes that everybody is dead. And then at the end of that story arc, he does stumble back in time, finds John, and starts crying, saying, I'm back, I can't believe it.
If that was famous, then I've never heard of it. That's stupid.
So one of the reasons you probably haven't heard about that is because Garfield's creator, Jim Davis, after that storyline was done, tried to serialize the strip in such a way that you could release any of the millions of Garfield comics on literally any day so that there was no continuity. When you go back and look at all of the characters from Garfield stories, there were a shit ton of characters in Garfield. But now there's only John, Garfield, Odie, sometimes Nermal, and then Liz, the veterinarian that John's dating.
Yeah, I remember from the show, I remember characters.
If you go back, there are Garfield PC games that reference some of the older characters. Like, Odie isn't even John's dog.
Whose dog is it?
This guy who is literally dead in John's basement.
Did John kill him?
That is literally the canon explanation.
Good.
I'm uncomfortable.
When you play one of the PC games with Garfield, you can go down into the basement and there is a skeleton.
There's PC games?
Yeah, Dude, Garfield is a huge franchise. You guys are just now touching on this?
You're just now touching on it, but I'm just now realizing it.
Okay. You can go downstairs into the basement in one of the Garfield PC games, and you can find a skeleton there wearing a shirt that is the same shirt as Odie's original owner, and Odie's original owner has not shown up at that point in about 30 years. from when he first showed up in the comic strip, from when he disappeared, and from when the PC game came out. This is also off the top of my memory, so like if I get the dates wrong or if it's been less than 30 years between the release of the comic strip and the game, I do apologize. But yeah, that's what Jason is referring to. Garfield has a pretty messed up lore.
Is Jim Davis, like, still alive? He's dead, right? Like, hella?
I don't know.
Pretty Jim sure Davis he's still is alive. Dead. He's locked in my basement.
Oh, boy.
He's just producing Garfield comics out of Mike's basement.
Well, it could be, like, a Peanuts comic strip situation where, like, the Charlie Brown comics are still coming out even though he's, dead.
Well, yeah. But I'm just curious about...
Jim Davis is still alive. He's 73 years old.
Okay, rad. So that means we can get him on the podcast, and yeah. Jason can ask him all the questions that he fucking wants about Garfield.
It's a really good idea, yeah.
Yeah, we have so much power to get a 73-year-old man.
Yeah, I mean, no. Probably, if we could get the Lasagna Cat guy first as a way to get Jim Davis. Anyway, Chris asked, how did you guys come up... Okay.
You're trying to piss him off.
Chris asks in the fan Discord, how did you guys come up with the name Tidepool Orchestra? You guys want to answer that?
No, because you're the one that had the podcast 7 years ago in the first place.
Okay, so how I came up with the name for the Tidepool Orchestra is my friend Brian was like, hey, let's make a podcast. And I'm like, okay, cool. I found this podcast from a long time ago that's called the Tidepool Orchestra. Let's just copy that.
And then Brian was like, wait, I already own that. Let's see if I can look up the credentials and see if I can log into the websites for all that. Okay, wow. Now let's just continue that one.
Makes
but
sense.
If you want an answer from like way back in the day, 2012, when Alex and I started the Tidepool Orchestra as a podcast originally, it was Alex who came up with the name, and he wanted something that sounded super tranquil, but at the same time, in a juxtaposition of that, something that would sound like loud and thematic. So like a tide pool, you just hear like little waves crashing in and out occasionally, but an actual orchestra, like a live orchestral performance, would be very loud and boisterous.
Honestly, when I first... you know, heard of Tidepool Orchestra before I was really, like, a part of it, I guess. I thought it was a stupid name.
Thanks.
But now hearing it, well, and also, well, being a part of the Tidepool, it's like, after saying it for so long, it becomes, like, a legitimate thing to me. So it doesn't sound stupid, it actually sounds cool and just like any other fucking company name that some Jimbo could come up with.
Some
you know?
Jimbo.
Yeah, like yeah. Alex. He's just some Jimbo.
Jimbo. Love you, man.
No, but Alex did a really good job. I think the juxtaposition and reasoning behind it makes sense, too. So.
Yeah, back in 2012, that was, like, what, in the boom of Homestuck? Alex and I were trying really hard to come up with, like, different literature or film analytical ideas, really honing in on juxtapositions and all this other stuff. Like, we were nerds. But anyway, that's how the name Tidepool Orchestra came in.
You guys were nerds?
Mm-hmm. That's what I was about to say.
Fucking at me, bro.
At Brian, at Landbase Red, at Landbastard, you are a fucking nerd.
Brad in the Discord group, fan, if you could live in any fictional universe, which would you live in? We'll go around the group.
That's... okay, I don't want to go first, because I have to think about this. Mike, do you have a solid answer? Or am I just going to have to pull one out of my ass?
No, Brian goes first.
Okay, Brian, go first.
I would want to live in the world of Garfield, because I feel like it has a really solid setting. Oh, shut up.
I want to live in the world of My Hero Academia, because I want to have a cool quirk. Or at least touch All Might's biceps.
Jordan, you know for a fact that with our luck, you would have, like, one of the most useless quirks.
I'd be able to, like, pee, like, blue pee instead of yellow pee or something.
You guys are missing the whole point of the first episode of My Hero Academia. having the power, having the quirk is a very rare thing. If we were in that universe, we wouldn't have a quirk.
No.
Not having a
quirk is the rare thing. Not having a quirk is rare.
Yeah, that was the... Oh, were you making a stupid joke, Brian?
So tired.
Okay, I thought you were making a stupid joke of being like, oh, you guys totally missed the point, and then saying the wrong point.
So tired.
Okay.
If I could live in any fictional universe, I would choose to live in...
one where you sleep?
Because
that's pretty fictional.
I would want to live in the comic book universe of Squirrel Girl and Howard the Duck. Where, yes, all the Marvel characters are in there. The civilians are treated fairly well and live fairly comfortable lives. And they don't always have to interact with the heroes, but they do all have, like, a somewhat conscious idea of what the heroes do. Like, to the point where there's a couple of background characters discussing, hey, there's Thor, wait, isn't Thor a girl now? No, I think they changed it again. Like, that's the sort of universe I would want to live in, where, like, I could be both blissfully unaware, or I can geek out on, like, different superhero politics, but at the same time, mm-hmm. like, it would be more or less just normal life. Just sometimes there's traffic, and the traffic is caused by supervillains.
Well, you'd be safe because all of the superheroes are in there, so, like, if anything bad happens, you're, like, Gucci.
There was a recent Squirrel Girl storyline that just ended where a Squirrel Girl was reported dead, and it was actually a Squirrel Invader that was shape-shifted into Squirrel Girl, but rather than out, like, coming out in public and, like, telling people that she hadn't died, Squirrel Girl instead disguised herself and tried to investigate, going like, huh. According to Twitter, I'm dead. Wonder what that's about.
That would be something that I would do.
Yeah. This is a really good universe. Did either of you guys think of an answer yet?
I said one.
Okay, yeah, true.
Yeah, because if I lived in Boku no Hero, I love All Might. And also, side tangent, you know, figurines, and they have those really nice... anime figurines for people to do hot glue on, and they're all, like, cute girls. Anyway, so I want, like, a good detailed figurine that's, like, good for, like, all the characters in My Hero Academia, specifically All Might. But you know what I fucking get? Funko Pops. Fuck Funko Pops.
Don't you mean... Funk.
You mean Fucko Pops? Yeah. They suck so bad, they don't look good. I don't know why people like them so much. They're so bad
that they don't look good.
I'm sorry, I just feel very strongly, and I can't really, like, explain it other than they are objectively bad, right?
Is that my
I'm not, like, totally crazy. You're at your local comic shop?
I was at my local comic shop earlier, and they had this gigantic table set with, like, just stacks and stacks upon Funko Pops. I actually asked the clerk, like, so you guys have a lot of Funko Pops? And he's like, yes.
Ugh.
I'm like, did they sell? He's like, not enough. Like, what?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, we have a stack over there that's 7 feet tall. You know what's supposed to be on that table? Literally nothing. We have a card tournament tomorrow. Like, oh. Oh, no.
We gotta sell all of them before we have the card tournament.
You know what's supposed to be on that table? Literally nothing. We have a card tournament.
Yeah.
That's like if...
That's not
know.
A joke. The local comic book store does Magic the Gathering tournaments on Fridays.
We weren't making fun of that. It's just the whole thing.
So absurd.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I think I'm gonna start collecting
like
Funko Pops, and you could probably look forward to more Funko Pop videos on the channel.
I'd be down for that.
Yeah.
Are you gonna just go in there and be like, hey, so do you guys have, like, a card tournament tomorrow? Do you have any tables that are being stacked with Funko Pops right now that you kind of need? Like, can I get a discount, you know?
I'm intentionally going out of my way to make videos and find videos to do that make Jordan upset.
I support this endeavor.
Jordan, how was your birthday?
Oh, it was,
Wait,
insane.
Wait, Mike, hang on, shit, Mike, did you say a fictional universe you wanted to live in?
I would like to be in the Dragon Ball universe, I think.
No, too bad. Good. You're in the Funko Pop universe. Anyway, Jordan, continue.
Birthday. Okay, you know what? Fuck you both. I'm gone. I'm leaving.
No, don't leave.
You can have a Funko Pop of Goku. I promise. I won't make fun of you for
Why did
it.
You both get to have real answers and then I'm just like, no, fuck you, Mike.
Yeah, Brian. I was actually quite surprised.
The Dragon Ball universe is good. Do you think that you would be able to attain Super Saiyan powers, or do you think you would be stuck as like a normie?
No, here's the thing. I'm not a Saiyan, so I wouldn't achieve Super Saiyan powers, but if I trained in that universe, then obviously I could achieve at least superhuman abilities, and that fascinates me that you can literally work yourself into supernatural abilities. They're not just bestowed upon you.
You don't even have to work for it that much. All you gotta do is get some hand weights and some leg weights in that universe.
And
then
train
you just
for
walk.
Literal years. Yeah.
Yeah, that's all you fucking do. Like, walk with, like, purpose, where you have your arms swinging around. And, like, at first, the weights are really heavy. But then, like, after, like, an hour or so, you're just, like, you know, doing all of it. You take them off, and all of a sudden, you're, like, Naruto running.
That is not how that works.
Naruto and Goku are in the same universe.
Have you seen Dragon Ball?
No.
Have you read Dragon Ball?
Nope.
Then you should stop talking about Dragon Ball.
Hey, I'm part of this podcast. I'm supposed to act like the audience.
I didn't say stop talking. I said stop talking about Dragon Ball. Moving on.
Okay,
Funko
are you
Pops.
Excited? No, are you excited for the new Dragon Ball Z Broly?
Oh, you mean this topic I tried to start last week, but you both cut me off?
Was I here this week? Last week? Oh, no. Fucking no. Oh, yeah, I was.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. Now talk about it. Now it's relevant.
Well, I still haven't seen it, so I can't talk about it.
Oh, yeah, so fuck off. Now I remember. We didn't try and stop talking.
No, you
fuck
actually
off.
Did. You both cut me off.
Okay.
There was a notification sound a little bit earlier, and I'm sorry if you guys heard that. Unfortunately, we got a new follower on Twitter, and it makes a notification sound. I do apologize.
I didn't hear it.
I know, but the...
Yeah, but you're recording.
Yeah.
Mike, be smart. No.
Jordan, birthday. You got drunk?
Yeah, so my dad had this whole, like, elaborate plan to celebrate my birthday.
Did it involve actually sitting down and watching Dragon Ball? Because clearly you haven't seen it.
No. My dad hasn't seen Dragon Ball either. Okay. Now Mike's gonna disown us. He's gonna go all Super Saiyan on us. Because I believe he's a Saiyan. I know he says he's not, but he is.
My favorite was the Buu Saga, and I'm gonna get shit about that too, so it's fine.
I liked the Buu Saga. It wasn't the best, but I liked
Buu Saga?
Imagine all the Dragon Ball characters fighting Kirby, and Kirby is just sitting around eating chocolate.
Awesome. That actually
but
sounds
he's
amazing.
He's like super OP, and he has the ability to turn other people into candy.
Yeah, so Kirby. Anyway. So you went to bars?
Yeah, so, let me see. We went to the Matador. All of these are good bars, by the way. So if you're ever in the Portland area, like the Pearl District, I don't know if any of our listeners will be from there or are going to travel there anytime soon. But, you know, like for future. So the Matador is where we went first. It's just this Mexican restaurant / bar because that's where we were going to eat. And then the rest of the places were just going to be like drinking locations. And also my dad picked that out because they had a mojito on the menu. And that's one that I've always really wanted to try. Really disappointed in it. I was expecting way more mint instead of lime, and it was mostly lime. So that sucked, but the food was really good. And then we finish, and Dad is like, okay, we have to walk a mile to the next bar. We should do a shot of tequila. And I was like, what? He's like, yeah, it makes you feel better if you have to walk a long time. And so I'm like, okay. And apparently it was, like, pretty good tequila, because he looked at the bill and he was like, that's expensive. But I did it. And then we get not even halfway to the next bar, and I have to pee. Because he failed to tell me about breaking the seal. I peed too early in the outing, so I had to go pee like 90 more times after that, which was really annoying. So I'm like, Dad, can we stop somewhere so I can pee? He's like, yeah. So we go to the Marathon, which is a dive bar. And he's like, okay, I'll buy you a Tic Tac, and then you can use the restroom. So I do the Tic Tac, walk to the vault, which is the best place in Portland, from my small experience. That is definitely a place that you should go to. It's a nice, fancy cocktail bar, a little more expensive, but really nice. And then I had two drinks there. And then we walked to Ground Control, which is a bar/arcade.
I love that place.
Yeah, we didn't play much games because we were pretty, gone by that point. But I sat down with Dad and we had, a Jack and Coke. And then after that, our final destination, we walked to Huber's, which is the oldest bar in Portland. And we had the Spanish coffee, I think is what it's called. And the reason why we wanted to go there is because it's very fancy presentation. So they do the fancy pouring method at the table where they're holding the bottle super far away and that kind of thing. And then they light it on fire. And it's a really good coffee drink. But at this point, I don't know if you listeners out there have been keeping count, but I've had 6 drinks up until this point. I am 5'8", and I weigh about, I don't know, 170 pounds or something, which, I mean, not skinny, I know that, but I'm not, the biggest person, and I'm also, a woman, so and women process alcohol a little differently, so 6 is a lot. and then I get halfway through my Spanish coffee. I am super drunk, and my dad, he's very big. He's 6'1", almost 300 pounds, so he's not even really feeling it. And I spill half of my Spanish coffee on him, and then we have to walk back to the MAX train to go to the park and ride that we're at. And the entire time, I'm thinking, don't vomit. I have to focus all of my drunk energy into not vomiting. So then I get home and I sit on the toilet to pee. And then the bathtub is to my right. And I immediately force myself to vomit as I'm on the toilet. And then I vomit about 2 times after that. In between vomits, I'm sitting on in the hallway, on the floor right outside of the bathroom. And my dad keeps going, past me, being like, you okay, buddy? I'm like, no. but yeah, I didn't vomit on myself. I vomited all in places where it was very cleanable. Once in the bathtub and then twice in the toilet. But I'm never fucking doing that again. I'll definitely drink. But, not 6 drinks. Not 7 drinks, actually, counting the Spanish coffee. That was awful. So, yeah. Oh, it's fine. The whole night as a whole was absolutely amazing, and especially the vault I want to go to again because of their drink menu. The 2 drinks that I had was the It's Diplo because you have to whip it real good. And it was a coffee drink that was very light and nice. And then the other one that I had was the Raspberry Beret, which also tasted really good. And the guy that helped me, I'm assuming he's the owner because he gave one of my drinks for free. He wore a hat and he has an awesome beard. That guy was cool. That's a guy that you would like, Brian. That's a guy you'd hit on.
What? Why?
Because he's a bear.
Oh, okay.
He was hot. So you should go to the vault and hit up that guy and ask for free drinks.
Okay.
Cool. Sorry for talking a lot, but it was exciting.
Cool. So I think we're going to take a short break, and then if I heard correctly, we're going to have a special guest on for the second half.
It's my burp. Surprise. That's the guest.
You revealed it too early.
Oh no. Ha ha ha.
I wanted to think it was clapping, but then there was also heavy breathing, so I was just like,
End of side A. Please continue on side B.
All right, we have a special guest with us this week for the intermission, and we're just going to go ahead and do a short three-question interview. But before we do, why don't we start off by introducing who the guest is. This is Theo from... Theo, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Oh my god, sorry, I'm so bad at this. my name's Theo, and I've got a bit of a cold. Sorry, I sound like a... like a goddamn idiot, but yes, I'm the man on the YouTubes who talks about robots and that. Basically, I do a little like toy review show, and I build Gundams and things, and also just open boxes and hang out. And sometimes I get like inappropriately drunk on camera, and it's great.
Wow, that leads into literally all of my questions. All right,
wait, there's not much to my act.
Let's start off with a really basic question. What got you into Transformers? Because I know that is the main bulk of what you do on the YouTube.
Pretty much, yeah. I mean, I think like a lot of folks of my sort of age group, I just kind of was indoctrinated at a young age into believing that Transformers were the best thing alive. And that kind of hasn't gone away. So that Transformers make me a happy kiddo. And I don't see why I should deny myself that.
You know what? That's a very fair point.
Yeah. Who cares, man? It's all good. But yeah, I got back into collecting as an adult through like classics and that and alternators, which were like very pointedly targeted at sort of people exactly like me. So they got me back. Got me again.
The classics and alternators really got most people back, I feel.
I think they did, yeah, because, like, you know, things... Cause I sort of grew up with Transformers being trucks and cars and airplanes and also occasionally, like, space cannons. And then for years and years, they were, like, they were animals, and that's cool and everything. Like, that's cool now, like, retroactively, like, you know. But at the time, I was like, oh, this is rubbish. So when they went back to, like, having, like, tracks and Swindle in the main line, I was, like, fully on board for that. And yeah, been hooked like an absolute chump ever since. What about you?
What about me? Oh, I got into Transformers at a young age. I was born in '91, so I actually started out with Beast Wars. So I have the exact opposite feeling. I dropped out around 2001 or 2002 when it started going back to cars and planes, and I'm like, oh, this is this is okay, but I like the animals more. And then I jumped back in and Transformers Animated, because when I was channel surfing and I saw Black Arachnia in it. Got crazy into Transformers Animated and collected literally every toy from that toy line, which was crazy because like that was 2008, I think, so I was either 17 or 18 years old, and I hadn't had a Transformer since, oh gosh, since I was like 12. And then I collected all of them, and I just had like all of my bookshelf filled with them.
Yeah, Animated was really good. It was kind of like a good spread. It was like a good place to come in, and it had enough sort of fan service for everybody. But also, it was really good as its own thing.
Transformers
had this whole different take.
Yeah. It's fantastic.
How much love can we give to Animated? It's the best. But yeah, it's interesting that like we have kind of opposite takes, and yet here we both are.
Yeah, on the Tidepool Orchestra, it has so many players.
Yeah.
So, I actually wanted to talk about the Tidepool Orchestra. My friend Mike, who's on the show, is doing this new thing where he does these subscriber specials, where he takes a shot for every single subscriber, and the reason, like, the epithet for this is really congratulatory, I guess, but he was trying to figure out what to do for it, and I actually linked one of your videos, the 10 shots, 10 bots sort of video.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, well, I can drink on camera. So that leads me into my question. In regards to your drinking videos, you removed the first one for a little bit and then re-uploaded it. Can you tell us about that?
Well, what that was at the time, 10 Shots, 10 Bells was kind of a, like a community challenge that was going around some of the UK gang. Like Dave Shotton, I think, did it, and Dave Mentz, SMS number one, he did it as well. And a bunch of us sort of got involved. And I was like, all right, I'll have a go then. I like booze. Forgetting that I had 10 times as many subs as them. So,
oh, no.
Like, it completely blew up. My version of it, it went completely crazy. Got like way more views than it normally does on the first day. And I was like, wow, this is going well. I hope my boss doesn't see it. So that kind of provoked me to take it down because I thought, God, this could have some like really bad repercussions in other areas of life. But then I spoke to my boss about it. And it was really unusual. Well, I say unusual, but it was like not the response I was expecting, because I was expecting him to be like, "You're a fool. What are you doing?" But I said to him, "Look, I really think this video could do all right, but I am blasted out of my face for most of it. So, what would you and or our clients think?" And he basically goes, "Look, it's none of my business." So I'm like, "Hey," and back up it went. So yeah, I don't know if I panicked or if that was like an actually more appropriate response to being drunk on the internet.
But I do have a,
it was all right.
I do have a side note to that. I've been following your videos since, I want to say, 2009. I came across it on 4chan's toy board when they did the little comic of you with, what was it, Revenge of the Fallen, Scout Class, I forget his name.
Oh, the one Hubcap.
Hubcap, it, yeah. The doo de doo de doo. Yeah.
Yeah.
Damn you. So I've been following you since around that point, and that was the when you pulled the drinking video, that was the first time I've seen you actually pull a video, and whether or not you had done that before is really regardless, but this is the first time I had noticed it, and that's why it just sprung to mind as a question. Mike was having similar concerns because he's getting a lot of his coworkers to watch it, and I'm like, hang on, Mike, do you really think that's a wise decision?
Well, yeah, I mean, it generally is not a good thing to do. Like, I mean, I've been lucky in the fact that I'm able to do this for a living now, so I kind of don't care if anyone else sees it, because I'm kind of supported. But yeah, like your boss could see it, or like future employers could look at it and go, "Ooh, I don't know if we want this guy on the team." Wow. How are we talking about like jobs on this cheerful toy podcast?
Oh, you know.
It's kind of, you got to address it.
And now,
but like, I don't know if it's because like he's quite a young guy, isn't he? So I don't know if it's maybe the best thing for that to be online. But also, you could always just not tell them.
I mean, that was one of my points. But anyway, why don't we ask the final question here? We've been going on for a while.
The final question?
The third.
Very ominous.
Do you think it's...
What is the name of God?
Yes, exactly. No. Do you think it's sad that giraffes are endangered now? I find it sad personally because they always stuck their necks out for us, but we never returned the favor.
I can't believe he just said that. do I answer that question?
Yeah, that's what I have typed up here.
Jesus.
Giraffes are endangered. It's sad.
That is sad.
Yeah.
Do we make a joke out of that? I mean,
they always stuck their neck out for us. They were always so tall. I personally think, and yeah, this is kind of jokey and kind of a sad topic, but I've always looked up to giraffes.
I don't know. I think they've had a bit of a patchy history.
Yeah, that's true too. This is stupid.
Oh god. This is not what I expected. You caught me completely off guard with this.
Alright, but yeah, I mean, I feel like we've covered a lot of good ground here, so that should be definitely good for an intermission. Thank you, Theo. Yeah.
Hey, you're welcome. Thanks for having me. I didn't know what to expect, but it wasn't that.
I wanna ask, where can people find you so that you can like plug your stuff? But they could probably find you a lot easier than they can find us. But yeah, why don't you plug your stuff?
Yeah, sure. You can find my channel. It's just called Theo Adams, THEW, like the back end of Matthew, Theo Adams. Or you can go to toygrind.com because I bought a domain.
Oh, nice.
Ooh, fancy.
All right. So
there's nothing there. It's just a link to my channel.
I like the brag and then be like, nah, but it's nothing.
You can't. Yeah, I mean, it's useless, but it's not useless, but there's nothing.
All right. Thank you for joining us today, Theo.
Hey, thanks for having me. This was a giggle.
Yep.
Welcome back. You're listening to the calming sounds of the Tide Pool Orchestra. Side B.
Ready for Side B, please.
Hello.
Hello.
And we're back. Welcome back to Side B of the Tide Pool Orchestra, episode 23.
And welcome.
Hello.
Hello.
Ooh, what's this? A podcast, I see.
Surprise guest in the middle of the episode. Yay, who is it?
It's me. Surprise.
Frequent guest of the Tide Pool Orchestra, Kat.
Hello.
I don't actually know your last name.
It's Steele, like the middle, with an E at the end.
Yeah, but also maybe she didn't want to fucking dox herself.
What's heavier, a kilogram of steel or a kilogram of feathers?
Ooh, ooh.
A kilogram of steel.
Wait, quick question. I have a question real quick for you. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. I can cut this out if you want. But earlier I was talking to Chris, and he said he went to high school with Jason Steele. Are you related to Jason Steele? I'm sure I've asked you this before. I'm drunk.
I don't think you have, but no, I am not. I do not know a Jason Steele. I have a cousin named Jason, but his last name is not Steele.
Huh.
Oh yeah, the creator of Charlie the Unicorn and other such great hits went to...
Name two others.
Llamas with hats.
Uh-huh.
Fractoplox.
That's Robert Benford. Jason Steele is in it as a voice, but did not help make that movie.
Okay, well, the other... Hang on, let me look up Film Cow.
No. Marshmallow People.
I haven't seen that one in years.
Doesn't mean
Llamas with Hats is the best.
They're still working on Charlie 3. Expect a video analysis video from me, Brian, when Charlie the Unicorn 3 comes out sometime in 2025.
Watch it come out next week.
Oh,
and
God,
then we just start predicting things.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to toot my own horn, but I kind of predicted some stuff.
We're the Tide Predict Pool.
Ooh, you're trying so hard. A for effort. But, like, F in actuality.
Hey, let's excommunicate Jordan from the podcast.
Let's be the Snide Pool Orchestras and just talk to each other in secret.
Hey, Snide Pool Orchestra is the podcast that I started on the side.
No, that was Side Pool Orchestra you're thinking of. I hate everything.
Yeah, I just...
Hey, Kat, last time we were talking about doing a book club. Do we still want to do that? I know I'm throwing you under the bus and kind of putting you on the spot, but if we do that, do you want to be in it?
Yeah.
Sweet.
I need to start getting back into reading. I kind of don't anymore, so...
I mean, it's going to be like a couple of days from now. Anyway.
Cool.
Is there anything
What's your favorite book?
What's my favorite book?
We discussed this on the show, Jordan.
Did we?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I was there.
On the channel.
Was it the one that I was a part of?
No.
No.
Then I didn't watch. Such an asshole. Okay, sorry. Because you guys were talking about book club. That makes sense. Okay. My favorite book is Dune.
I know. And one day I'll read past page 6 of it.
Great.
My favorite book is called Death of Life, and just a short synopsis is it just like personifies death, and it like goes through the ages of like, you know, like biblical times to modern day, and it's actually a comedy book, comedic book. But oh, it's cool. Really funny.
Might be a good one to pick up, because I've been trying to get back into reading too.
One of my favorite books is The Elemist Chronicles. It's part of the Animorph series. It's by K.A. Applegate, which is her pen name. And that's like, what if God was a D&D player? And like a bird.
Anyway. And Mike doesn't have a favorite book because he can't read.
Okay, you know what? You're an asshole.
I'm sorry, you were the last one to speak, so I kind of had to do the joke.
My favorite book is called Gil's Alfright Diner.
What's that about? If you haven't already talked about it on the previous podcast, otherwise, plug it.
It is about Gil and his Alfright Diner.
Nice.
Did you all hear the interview that I had with Thew, internet personality Thew? We had that intermission just a couple of minutes ago. It was pretty good. Did you all hear that?
Internet personality and toy reviewer Thew was on our podcast? That's amazing.
I know.
And you're sounding sarcastic. You might be actually listening to this.
No, I was actually plugging it so that my boss would hear and possibly be interested in actually watching our videos instead of just subscribing to get alcohol for sickness.
Yeah. Can you hear your boss in the background? It's pretty good.
You can click that little bell, and then you'll be reminded when we post a video.
Do more calls of action for the podcast so that I don't have to do them.
Smash that bell icon. Smash that like button.
Smash the
subscribe. Get smashed.
Button.
Get if you're those above bros. 21.
Smash that subscribe button, and then get smashed with Tidepool Orchestra star Michael... I forget your last name. Gaydon?
Yes, Gaydon. That's it. Congratulations.
Thank God.
Let me find another beer to drink.
For some reason, I was going to say Michael Hitler, and I felt like that was wrong.
I mean, it wouldn't be too far off.
So I did an interview with Thew, and I thought it was really good because, Mike, you do all these drinking videos, and Thew does drinking videos too, so I was asking him questions about that and making sure that I got all the answers for you. At the same time, like, I'm sure you can re-listen to it whenever you want. And now all of our listeners can also hear all of these great questions that got answered during that intermission. So I'm really happy with that. Thew is famous for doing toy reviews on the YouTube, so I thought maybe it would be a good idea for us to all talk about our favorite toys in childhood and later on as nerdy adults.
That's actually a good idea, Brian. I'm proud of you. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. When I drink, I become more professional, just like in real life.
When I drink, I challenge people to impossible feats at video games.
Yeah. Yeah, Mike got drunk one night and just yelled at me. He said, "Hey, Brian, play Mario 64, but make it not Mario."
What are you talking about? It's European Mario.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, Kat, favorite toy growing up? Go.
Skydancer.
Skydancer's such a good option. Such a good toy. Oh, man. Did you guys see that Vine where that girl launched her Skydancer and it flew around into the fireplace?
Yes, that was like Christmas morning, I think. I think she like just opened it too.
You can see the parents screaming and panicking. So bad. Love it.
Go ahead.
I was going to say there was like a spinoff of Skydancers that was aimed towards a young male audience in the mid to late 1990s. Where they were like dragonflies, but it didn't last.
I remember that. I didn't see the show or see the toys, but I saw the commercial for the toys before
the show was awful.
The movie started on my Jumanji VHS.
The show was so goddamn bad.
I bet it was.
The toys were literally just the Skydancers with different molding. But Kat, why don't you tell us some unique memories you have of Skydancers?
I mean, I don't have any like unique memories, but I know that I have. Oh, I don't know if I still have them or not. I've actually tried looking for them in our attic, but I had a pink
one. You
guys
have an attic?
Yeah.
Well, you can only access it by going down to the basement and getting the key.
Yeah.
You have to defeat a lizard.
But no, so I had a pink one. Let me see if I can Google it real quick. Sky Dancer pink. But I see, yeah, so I had a pink one. Nope, not a wacky inflatable arm flailing tube man.
same thing.
Same thing. No, I had a pink one, man. Which I think was just like butterflies and hearts and stuff.
I just had really horrifying picture in my head of somebody like pulling a ripcord on wacky waving inflatable arm flailing tube man, like probably right in front of a car dealership, and it just fucking flies into the air.
but I also had a blue one that had like the moon and stars on it, which was my favorite. But no, I've tried looking for them in our attic, but I think we might have gotten rid of them when I was younger, like, you know, like preteen age when you're cleaning out the attic and stuff. So I don't know where they are, but I really want to find them again.
Just buy all of them off of eBay.
I could do that.
And then also, like, if you buy a bunch, you can try and release them all in quick succession so they're all flying in the air like a tiny army.
It's like buying rats at the pet store so that you can take them out into the woods and set them free.
That's actually not a good idea.
Except they're domesticated rats and they will literally die in the wild.
Mm-hmm. Me and Michael both have had pet rats, so don't do that.
I am going to
don't do that, kids.
Question my moral choices while Jordan tells us about her favorite childhood toy.
Good choice.
The one that I was really thinking of is Polly Pocket.
Yes, girl,
oh, man.
Yes.
Oh, quick question. Do you guys ever think that maybe women's, like, adult women's clothing doesn't have pockets specifically so that women, like, full-grown adult women don't collect Polly Pocket?
Definitely.
No.
Oh.
Okay.
I mean, if you think that, that's okay. I mean, it's a conspiracy.
If
so
you think
if you
that, that's
dabble,
fine. You're just wrong.
But it's wrong.
If you think that, you're really stupid.
No.
If you
I
think that,
thinking,
that's
though.
Fine. It's just, you know, you have to take those remedial classes and
hey,
get smart.
Listen, I have an actual thing to say that, like, justifies my opinion. That's
okay.
Not the majority, apparently.
Okay, Jordan, don't take this the wrong way. But not 20 minutes ago, you said you wanted to fuck my boss. I can't trust your opinion.
I can. Your boss is hot. You fucked. Show him the podcast so he can just circle jerk about his boss. Can we do an episode just on your boss?
Hey, what's
to make him extremely uncomfortable?
What's on the docket, Polly?
He said he's down.
No, so if
when my little brother
women
was
don't have pockets.
Uh-huh.
No. Then that means grown women have to buy purses, which objectively hold more Polly Pockets.
When my little brother was growing up from the ages of 8 to 12, whenever I was asking him what was happening, I would say, what's on the docket, Polly Pocket? And then it was last year when he was like 13 and I pulled up pictures of the new Polly Pocket Netflix cartoon. He said, wait, what is Polly Pocket? That's not just a thing you made up?
So I love Polly Pocket.
These days.
I thought it was just a thing I made up so that I could have a rhyme with what's on the docket.
Do you guys remember the Polly Pocket website?
Nope.
Yeah, with like the dress up and like do your nails and stuff like that.
Yeah, and there was a game specifically when they came out with a special swim set where it's like, oh, it's a little dollhouse that you can fill with water, and then Polly Pocket jumps in, and I think some of her clothes change color depending on if they're wet or dry or whatever.
I never had that, but I wanted it so bad.
One of my cousins had that, and they left it at our great-grandmother's house, and then the great-grandmother passed, unfortunately, RIP, and then we moved into that house, and then I had the Polly Pocket. When the cousin came back and asked, what happened to my Polly Pocket with the summer beach house with the water that changes their clothes colors? And I'm like, well, I thought it would look cool if I painted it black.
Oh, no.
Oh, that kind of makes me sad.
And it did
look cool.
I bet it looked cool, Brian. I'm proud of you.
I had a radio flyer red wagon from like the time I was like 4. And my brother painted it green with, like, house paint. I'm still mad about it. This happened like 15 years ago.
I mean, like, what kind of green was it? Was it like baby poop green?
It was like a pastel green. Oh. It was the color of me and my brother's bathroom at the time, and I'm just like,
ew.
we just had the extra paint laying around, and he painted it green, and I'm still mad about it 15 years later.
When me and my brother were both really little, we had one of those radio flyer wagons, and my brother was sitting down, and I'm like, hey, look, if you hold the handle like this, it's like a steering wheel, you know, Rugrats? And he's like, yeah. And I pushed him down out of the garage, down the driveway, and he crashed, and he broke his arm.
Oh, I thought you were going to say he's dead, and that's why I only have, like, two brothers.
No, he didn't break his arm that time. He broke his arm when I slammed inside of the glass door.
Ryan, what the fuck?
I'm not a great person.
I'm starting to think that not only are you neurotypical, you're also a sociopath.
I'm not neurotypical.
Just more than you.
Yeah.
Fuck off.
Mike, what was your favorite toy as a kid? Was it a fidget spinner?
Brian?
Uh-huh.
No, they didn't exist when I was a child.
Oh. Well, I don't know. You're younger than I am. How old are you?
I'm turning 26 in like 4 months.
Yeah, and I'm like 27. No, you're not. No, you're not. You don't know how old you are? Wait.
What month is it?
It's January.
Like 7 months.
I'm going to step back for a moment and just kind of stare at my ceiling for a bit.
Nope.
Mike, what was your favorite toy growing up?
What was my favorite toy growing up? Let's see. I really liked... No, I didn't. That's a lie.
Wow. hang on.
I don't know, man.
Maybe I'll answer while we wait, and we then find out that you were very, very poor as a child, and your favorite toy was a rock.
Well, the sad part is I've been thinking about it the entire time that you guys have been saying it, and like I didn't really have many toys growing up that I liked. I just had toys that people bought me and I played with because I didn't have anything else.
Aw. I had a lot of toys. That's because I've always, since like the age of 5, been in the collector mindset. Like, imagine little... Okay, sorry, there was a Twitter notification. I really need to find a way to turn that off. Okay, so when I was like 5 or 6 years old, imagine like a little 5 or 6 year old who already reads at like a 4th grade level, right? I was putting toys on shelves, and then I had, like, a label maker, and I was labeling them on the shelf. Like, I'm...
Sounds like me.
No exaggeration, that was 5 and 6 year old me. And I know that because I was collecting Beast Wars toys, and that toy line came out in 1996, so I had, like, season 1 and 2 toys. So it couldn't have been later than 1997. So I was 6 years old at most, already making sure to get their names perfectly spelled right with a label maker for the bookshelf.
Sounds like me.
So Beast Wars was my main thing when I was little. 2001 came out, and they had Bionicle. So I had a bunch of those. Almost all of them. And then... I don't know. I've always collected toys of some kind. Mike, do you have an answer yet?
Do video games count?
Sure.
Video game collectibles do.
Video game collectibles?
Like...
I guess I didn't have a favorite toy growing up, Brian. I'm sorry.
I don't know. That's fine. Me and my little brother, Zach, who's like 2 years younger than me, he was super into video games, and I was super into toys and books. Because toys and books are cheaper. Like, if we go to the Target and our parents are like, all right, you guys look around, you can each spend $10 and we'll do the rest of the shopping. Just please, for the love of God, leave us alone for like 10 goddamn minutes.
Oh, no. Okay. Pokemon Yu-Gi-Oh cards. Does that count? That count?
Yeah, absolutely. I was super into Yu-Gi-Oh. We need to do more Yu-Gi-Oh gameplay videos.
We do. We definitely need to play more Yu-Gi-Oh games.
was thinking about even doing like an instructional video on like how to play Yu-Gi-Oh, because I got crazy into Yu-Gi-Oh and I still have a ton of the cards.
Hey Brian, is that Blue Eyes White Dragon?
The Blue Eyes White Dragon?
How much attack does he have?
3,000 attack, 2,500 defense.
Alright, so I attack him with my Dark Magician. How much does he have now?
Oh god, are we telling that story? Oh god, so when I was in middle school, we had these neighbors right down the road, and I would walk over to their house, and we were playing like Yu-Gi-Oh! And I pull out my Blue Eyes White Dragon because I had like the Kaiba starter deck, even though I didn't want it, but my mom didn't realize there was a difference when she got me and my little brother both a deck of Yu-Gi-Oh cards, and he didn't even play the game, but he's like, well, you want it, so you can never have it. So I play out the Blue Eyes White Dragon. I'm following the instruction manual, like the rule book, entirely. I have it off to the side, and I'm like reading everything off like in between turns. I tribute two monsters, I place the Blue Eyes White Dragon. They play Celtic Guardian, who has 1,400 attack against my Blue Eyes with 3,000 attack, and they're like, we attack! And they were like twins, and I'm like, okay. So Celtic Guardian dies, and you lose 1,600 life points. And they're like, okay, cool, how much attack power does it have? 3,000? Still? Yeah, so I don't think they understand how the game works.
I think they thought it was closer to Magic the Gathering.
And then, like, they had an older cousin who was, like, playing video games off in the other room, and he comes into the living room and sees us playing it. He's like, whoa, Blue Eyes, how much attack power does it have? And I'm like, 3,000? He's like, whoa, still? They didn't try to use, like, a Celtic Guardian to attack it? I'm like, what is happening right now? I don't know. So yeah, I would say trading cards count as toys to an extent.
Did y'all have like a favorite stuffed animal growing up too?
Oh, I just remembered a crazy thing with toys. We used to have, me and my little brother had all these toys, and we were in like a townhouse with not a whole lot of things going on and not even like cable. So we would stage these plastic battles is what we would call them, where we would line up all of our toys on opposite side of the rooms and act like generals in an army. And he kept pulling out his stuffed animals. And I'm like, those aren't plastic. They don't count. And he's like, yeah, but they're bigger, so that means they're stronger. I'm like, that one is a rabbit. And he's like, yeah, but it's stronger than your Buzz Lightyear because it's bigger.
It makes sense to me.
Yeah, that totally checks out.
But it's a plastic battle. He's like, yeah, but then the eyes are plastic, so he can shoot laser beams.
Oh, my favorite stuffed animal.
That totally makes sense.
I actually still have him. it's a dog, and his name is Beethoven.
Oh, I had that.
And I named him after the movie Beethoven, like the dog. And he was a gift given to me by some family friends before we moved to Georgia when I was like like 7. And I still have like most of my stuffed animals from childhood, but Beethoven is on the bed, is like currently on my bed as a 26-year-old woman. Currently on my bed.
That is so crazy. I had one of those growing up too. Like, if you look at all my childhood photos from the ages of like 4 to 7, I was inseparable with that thing. And then I think it burnt in a fire.
Oh, I'm sorry.
My little brother and I, I broke his arm and he threw my favorite toy into a fire, so it's fine. So that's
how I went through a phase when I was like, well, it started with Beethoven, but until the age of maybe like 12 or 13, I named most of my stuffed animals after composers. So I had Beethoven, I had Mozart, and I had like Edvard Grieg, which was a German composer, but I named a moose. Mozart was a dog, Beethoven's a dog, and Edvard Grieg was a moose.
Nice.
This technically our brothers, but I took it because it was so cute. So.
Mike's sitting there in the corner, just slowly realizing that he never had any toys growing up.
You're right. That's exactly what I'm sitting here realizing.
Bab, what about your monkey?
Yeah.
Georgie?
Yeah, your monkey.
That's not really a toy. I mean, it's my stuffed animal, but... I mean, I inherited him from my mom.
That was so cute. Like, you're like, what about your monkey? You mean Georgie? He sounded so excited. He's, like, tiny kid.
He's like, I never had any toys. What about the monkey? Georgie?
I didn't consider him a toy.
Just like... The fact that you immediately knew its name is just so adorable, and I love
it. Well, yeah, I mean, I've had him since I was literally born, and he is 46 years old, because my mom got him when she was born.
Mike, at some point, give me your address when I'm sober, and I'll buy you a toy.
What kind of toy?
Bad dragon.
No. I already have two of those.
God.
Yeah, we already have some of those, yeah.
God.
When I was younger, I had a net above my bed just full of stuffed animals.
Oh, I've seen those.
Well, aren't you fancy? Yeah.
With a drawstring, and every night when she was getting ready for bed, her parents would tuck her in, like both of them, because they weren't divorced, and they would tuck her into bed, and then they would say nighty night, and one of them would turn off the light, and the other one would turn on the nightlight, and then the first one would go over and pull the drawstring, and all of the stuffed animals with balloons tied to them would slowly cascade onto her and whisk her away into dreamland.
Man, that sounds great. But in reality, I got spoiled with toys and stuffed animals because my parents were trying to make up for their yelling.
Oh.
No, it's okay.
My parents made up for their yelling with more yelling.
My parents made up for their yelling with hitting mood.
my parents didn't yell often.
Well, I'm happy for you.
Look at me. Look at me. I'm Kat. My parents were nice. That's you. That's what you sound like.
Are we really bullying her for, like, having a good childhood right now?
Look at me. I don't have childhood trauma. Ooh.
I didn't say that.
Look at me. I don't have childhood trauma as a result from my parents.
I only have other trauma that I have to deal with. Thanks, Brian. Oh. That's Kat right now.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah. Like, punch him. I give you permission.
No, you can actually punch him when he comes to our wedding.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah, apparently I'm doing that, Jordan. I don't know if they told you.
Oh, well, that's good. Take lots of pictures. Maybe you can do a Skype call so I can see the wedding or something.
I'm going to intentionally only take selfies and only send you selfies.
Oh my god.
Me and Michael are...
background getting married.
My dad's a musician, so he has some musician friends who are going to do a string quartet for the ceremony.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to have them play, like, Lord of the Rings and Zelda and, like... Fleetwood Mac song, so
I've never
that's so good.
Never heard Zelda music, so this should be interesting.
You know, it's like
you did the Nickelodeon theme, and then you're like, no, this is Mario, and you got all hesitant.
Nickelodeon. I actually had to act like. Think to not do something Zelda because I wanted to make the joke. That's more so what my brain was doing.
But also, yeah. Skyrim will be there.
Skyrim in person?
Yeah, the Skyrim.
Oh, shit.
Brian is like on a flight to go to your wedding. He falls asleep on the flight, wakes up in the back of a cart.
Wakes up in the back of a wagon going down a hill with some snow. Oh, you're finally awake.
I just, I try to look behind me and there's just a Skyrim logo and I'm like, Todd Howard, you son of a bitch. Got me again. That would be fun.
Yeah.
You have a weird definition of fun.
If other people are having fun at my expense, then I'm still having fun. That's what my dad taught me when he was,
So he told you to be a doormat?
Yeah, basically. And then he yelled at me because I never stood up for myself. It was a weird childhood. Anyway.
So when Kat is going to punch you at the wedding, are you going to do it after the ceremony?
It's part of the ceremony.
Before.
We're going to say our vows, and I'm going to turn and punch Brian, and then we're going to continue on, and, you know.
It's going to be,
and then, have sex on top of him, right?
In pain.
No, it's
Jordan. No, Brian, hold on. Jordan.
What?
Why do you keep referencing having sex on, with, or inside of people?
It's really awkward, number one. Number two, I wish you would stop. Number three, when the rabbi says, if anybody has any words to why these two should not be wed, I'm going to raise my hand. Kat's going to walk down the aisle, holding her dress up. She's going to, stand right next to me, punch me in the face. I'm going to get knocked out. And when I wake up, they're going to be married.
Brian.
Yeah.
You're going to be up at the altar with me.
Oh. I'm going to be, eating.
That's
the
how
whole
groomsmen
time.
Work.
No, I've been a groomsman. It's fine.
Also, are you gonna rabbi?
What do you mean? Are you not Jewish? This is a Jewish podcast. What's happening?
Are you guys gonna take cute photos, like you in your wedding dress and him in like a tuxedo? And it's gonna be all like cinematic and stuff.
I'm apparently not allowed to wear a tuxedo.
What are you wearing?
It's wearing a t-shirt and shorts and a backwards baseball cap. He's wearing
sunglasses. You're wearing the same thing.
Yeah, the theme of the wedding is Chad.
He's going to skateboard in. He's going to jump up with his skateboard and go down a rail in the middle of the aisle. He's going to land there. The groomsmen have to take the railing out of the aisle so it's back to a normal church setting or a synagogue setting, sorry. And then she's going to walk down the aisle after that.
That's exactly what's going to happen, yeah.
I think you should be wearing rollerblades when you're walking down the aisle, Kat.
He wrote his own vows, and let me tell you, he showed them to me, and the word yo showed up a total of 296 times.
Yo.
You know, I mean, I would totally rollerblade down the aisle, except Michael was supposed to buy me rollerblades for Christmas last year.
I was not supposed to buy you rollerblades. I was supposed to buy you roller skates.
Okay, sorry, roller skates. I know, sorry. But he's supposed to buy me roller skates, like derby skates, because I want to learn how to do roller derby.
Oh my god,
and,
guys!
He never did because we're poor.
Guys,
what
wedding dress would go perfect with high heelys?
High heelys.
Any fucking dress you want. If you're wearing those.
Brian?
Yeah.
You're tearing this family apart.
I am the clown juggling in the corner crying to make sure that the court is being happy and content.
Watch out, don't say anything about corners. Jordan will come masturbate on you.
What?
She's been making the references all night.
I think that's a good point to stop the episode. Anybody have any final words for our audience of mostly children?
No.
Don't listen to our podcast, obviously.
Don't let your pet rats out in the wild, because that can get them killed.
Don't let your dreams be dreams. Just do it.
Don't masturbate on corners.
Or corpses.
Yeah, weird. This has been weird.
Take your pet's rats and put them up in the tree where they belong. Let them loose and free in the wild.
Brian?
Mm-hmm.
Rats are not tree-dwelling mammals.
Where do gerbils live in the wild? You can only find them in pet stores. Gerbils and hamsters, where the fuck do they live in the wild? If you could show me where they live in the wild, then I'll believe that they don't, belong in the wild.
You know where guinea pigs come from?
Is it New Guinea?
yeah.
They come from the pet store.
Where do ferrets come from? The pet store.
Ferret
land?
Ferrets happen when a possum and a snake love each other very much.
I thought it was when a cat and a snake love each other very much. Or a weasel and a snake love each other very much. Or any small, furry, crafty mammal loves
a snake. No one would love a ferret.
I love ferrets, fuck you.
They smell.
They're a good fashion accessory. Can I hit stop record yet?
Oh my god.
Hey guys, we're gonna cut to Jordan talking about where you can find and listen to us, and it's kind of loud, but that's okay, because this is the Tidepool Orchestra. Bye-bye!
And it's Jordan, so you're used to that.
It's true. This has been another episode of the Tidepool Orchestra. Please make sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel so you don't miss the next episode, where you can also look forward to some fun bonus content. If you can't get enough of us, you can also follow us on Twitter at TidepoolO and like our Facebook page to keep up to date. We also have a fan Discord, so if you want to hang out with all of us as well as other fans, you can join in by clicking the link down below. For any questions, ideas, or business inquiries, feel free to email us at TidepoolOrchestra@gmail.com. Thanks for listening, and see you next time!
Thank you for listening to the calming sounds of the Tidepool Orchestra.